It's the doc and the deacon, stethoscope and hope, talking everything from poop to the Pope. One believing in spiritual miracles, the other believes in movement vows that are irritable. Two dads, more like two brothers, and they breaking bread like the Last Supper. This show won't get negative feedback, that be like the deacon prescribing a Z-Pack. So don't get it twisted like a Philly pretzel. Foles already told y'all that Philly special. Take notes from the knowledge they're teaching. Pay attention, it's the doc and the deacon speaking.
Welcome to Doc and the Deacon, a podcast about two dads. One of us believing in the power of science.
One of us believing in the power of Jesus.
Well, both of us believe in the power of an ice cold beer. And I, over the past year, have been in an unofficial book club. There are a few other women from the adjacent fantasy football league that we share books and we talk about them at times. And yet you, for this episode, said we had to do an episode on a book from the Bible.
That's right. A book from the Old Testament. B.C.
B.C. Not only that.
You know, the Old Testament is a collection of books written before God provided the absolution of sin through the birth and subsequent death of his son, Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. And we are going to do an episode today on the book of Proverbs, a collection of collections. This is actually maybe one of my favorite parts of the Bible I've ever read. You know why?
Why?
Because there's not that much Jesus in it. It is biblical wisdom literature. It is, you know, a collection of collections about, you know, being a better person, different things that is really more about values, moral behavior, and the meaning of human life.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk of things in Proverbs in relation to taking a path one way may seem to be an easier path that leads you to another result, but that taking a path this way, although appearing more difficult, is guided by the Lord and can lead you to a better outcome.
Yes, yes.
Right? There's a fear of the Lord. We talk about a lot in Proverbs. There is, at the end of Proverbs, Proverbs 31 is often referred to as the book of the Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes, and if you've never read it and you don't want to, it sounds like this. The wise man does this. The fool does that.
Yeah, that's... Well, I mean, okay, you're simplifying it.
Quite. Wisdom in Proverbs is personified as a woman, and I quite enjoy that.
That's true. That is true. Oftentimes, it is personified in the sense of the woman. Give me... So, when you're... in your book club, and you're faking that you've read whatever book it is.
The book of Proverbs.
No, like when you're doing it with the ladies of the AFFFFL.
Okay.
What book are you on? What's the last book you did?
Demon Copperfield.
Okay.
Demon Copperhead, actually.
And what was that about?
Oh, it's about a young man growing up in the South who really struggled with his life, and then all of a sudden got taken in by another family after being somewhat of an orphan and having a great football career and then hurting his knee and then getting addicted to drugs and all the trials and tribulations of this young man who's talented but continued to struggle and find the wrong road because of the situations that surrounded him that continued to draw him in and away from the natural talent that he had.
It sounds like an after-school special. Sounds good. And I forget. So, on average, how many books do you read per month?
Oh, 1 to 2. I read all of the book of Proverbs in the past month because, you know what? It is the closest the Bible comes to Greek philosophy. And I feel like the term Proverbs, really, and what a proverb is, which even though we have a book of Proverbs, really, the definition is a simple traditional saying that expresses a perceived truth based on common sense and experience. And there's a difference between proverbs versus cliches versus idioms. And new proverbs are still now being made, which is beautiful. And I think it's hard to really define exactly what makes a phrase a proverb.
Well, I think a proverb is something that makes us look at something and examine our position in relation to whatever the statement is, right? Like, oftentimes, I will say a person cannot appreciate walking on a flat road until they have walked up the mountain.
I like that. You'll feel the calves burn walking up the mountain. Absolutely. You know, a lot of the proverbs from the book of Proverbs sometimes have two meanings.
Yeah.
Or different proverbs overall can be taken in two different ways. So one of my favorites is one hand cannot clap. And I think the question is, do we think this means that teamwork and more than one person is needed, or an argument requires two people?
I think it could go lots of ways, right? One hand cannot clap. That's good. What verse is that from?
Well, I don't know that that's from the book of Proverbs, but it is a proverb.
Oh, it is a
proverb. Speaking of the book of Proverbs, it was written by your boy.
Yeah.
Your boy.
King Solomon.
Yeah, King Solomon. So it's interesting, right? For me, Christian people read this book, the Bible.
Yep.
And part of it was written mostly by King Solomon. A few other people are involved in the book of Proverbs.
That's right.
But King Solomon lived 900 to 950 BC, before your boy.
That's right.
King Solomon had, it says, possibly 700 wives, 300 concubines. And one of my favorite stories in learning about the guy who wrote this book,
yep,
was a time there were two women and they were arguing over one child. One of the women had lost a child.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what to do. And they came to King Solomon.
That's right.
And I'll let you take over.
The one woman, they were fighting over the child. You stop me if I'm wrong, because I wasn't prepared for that story. But I think it's a pretty common story. They decided, one of the women, King Solomon said, well, maybe we should cut the child in half.
Yeah.
And you could each have half of the child. And the one woman said, no. I don't want to hurt the child. I love the child. If it comes to that, she can have the child. And that's when King Solomon said, the woman who would not hurt the child and spare the child is the one who truly deserves the child.
Yeah, yeah. And this is the person who wrote this book.
Yeah.
And that is...
because he didn't want to cut a baby in half.
He did not want to cut a baby in half. But he brought up the idea of cutting a baby in half. Right? I mean, he brought up like, let's cut a baby in half.
It was tough. You gotta call somebody's bluff.
I want to point out that my favorite book in the Bible so far was written by a guy who wanted to cut a baby in half.
He didn't want to cut a baby in half.
He said, I'm going to cut a baby in half.
He just put it out there in the ethos to see what would happen. And then the woman was like, no, you can't cut the baby.
Do you think that he was going to cut the baby right down the middle and bottom? Do you want the top of the baby or the bottom of the baby?
Let me ask you a question.
I want the top of the baby.
Imagine, because we've seen a lot of crazy stuff, right?
Like, do we go belly button or do we go higher if we're really taking half a baby?
Because I feel like, you know, everybody gets a show, right? Like Springer had the show, and then his boy Steve Wilkos got the show, and there was
King
Maury,
Solomon, he would have a show.
Can you imagine what it would be like if it was like, all right, everybody, the people's King Solomon, state your case. Well, King Solomon, we both have this baby. We both love this baby, and we think we should both have this baby. And King Solomon said, well, you can't both have the baby. You know what? We'll cut the baby in half. Like, what? And then they would cut to break like they do in the... So King Solomon has just issued a statement where he said, let's cut the baby in half. Let's talk to one of our people in the audience and say, what say you about cutting the baby in half?
I don't know if it's a baby, but she should have that baby. It looked like she loved that baby more.
This is live footage here, folks. And then they go back to, we're going back to King Solomon. So, ladies, what say you about cutting the baby in half? Well, it's King Solomon. We're not cutting the baby in half. This is cutting the baby. We don't want to hurt the baby. She can have the baby.
Except for on Jerry. It was like, you are not the father's child.
And he'd be
like,
oh, that was more.
Whoa, I told you that wasn't my baby. That was not my child. That was not my child. You knew that was not my child. That child didn't look like me. He got those ears that are attached. Yeah. My ears hang down. He's got those ears that are attached. And look, his nose, that nose is pointy.
Yeah, I love it when they put the picture up of the person. And they go say, doesn't this look like him? Look at that.
Solomon, 700 wives, 300 concubines. He should have been on Jerry Springer.
Let's cut this baby in half.
He should have been on Jerry Springer.
He would have been on Jerry Springer.
I mean, 700 wives. I don't know that but he wrote I know a good the book. Name of 700 people. I don't know that I do. So, Proverbs.
Yeah.
The book of Proverbs, the beginning, it's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I love this because it basically is about wisdom and rules to live life by. It's interesting because they have basically the Ten Commandments. But none of them really came from the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs speaks to you, right? The book of Proverbs tells you what not to do. And so you know what I'm going to do?
Come on.
I am going to do a reading from the Bible.
Oh, you found a favorite proverb.
I am going to do a reading for the Bible any man who is staring at someone else.
All right, let's go.
Are you ready? For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor into others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed.
It was very, very intense. There is a reverence in Proverbs. And I think probably from experience from Solomon, where he talks about how when we get lost in moments that we no longer have control of our faculties, right? And it often speaks of...
That's how I feel during a podcast.
That the woman, her ways can lead to death, right? I mean, it's important that we have a plan for how we're going to enter situations, and that we consult the Bible and have people in our lives that we consult to help guide us along these paths so that we can avoid the pitfalls of not having a plan.
So I'm going to say a proverb.
Okay.
And then you're going to tell me how to explain it and what you think it means.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
These are actual biblical proverbs, or these are just things you've made up?
Oh, no. Do you want me to start with the biblical proverb?
Oh, I don't care. I just wanted to know.
Oh, so my favorite biblical proverb is 17:22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Mm. And I like that because it says medicine.
It does say medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, because a merry heart can cure. And a heart that... What does it say?
No. Broken spirit.
A broken spirit.
It drieth the bones.
Man, that can you imagine a dry? I mean, we've all seen
I saw somebody today who was really struggling.
Brittle bone.
Really dry bones.
Yeah.
Next.
Okay.
And I think this one right now with social media and people watching like cable TV, a little learning is a dangerous thing.
Yeah. And it's interesting because a little learning can make you feel confident in a subject and make you feel like you know all that there may be to know.
There's nothing better than when somebody Googled something and they come in and they want to debate
and they want to speak confidently.
Of course.
Because we all want to be confident. And what we're really trying to do is appease our own fear.
Appease our own fear. Yeah. Appease your own fear. That would be a great proverb.
because
Deacon 7:14 appease your own fear. That's a great line. Yeah, that should maybe be the name of the episode.
Because nobody wants to really be scared. And so if you learn a little bit, then you can kind of create a narrative that makes sense to you and make yourself feel better.
Yeah, I love it. My next one is my wife's favorite proverb. Ooh. And it's a phrasing that she uses.
Okay.
That I feel like has really empowered her.
Okay.
To just be herself.
Yeah.
Other people's opinions of me is none of my business.
Mm. I like it.
Right. She wants to live her life as a caring person. And while others want to judge and discuss, I don't want to know.
Well, you know, and kind of like Will Smith, keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I mean, I still can't believe you're defending Will Smith.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
Megan. Her name is Megan.
Yeah.
Next, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
It did not age well, though. I mean, they've really gone. I mean, I love Will Smith. They've gone crazy.
They were crazy before.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Next, the oldest known proverb from 1800 BC. I don't know that I love this one.
Okay, let's hear it.
And this is, as the internet says, the oldest known proverb.
Okay.
The bitch by
must
her
be true.
The bitch by who acting too hastily brought forth the blind. And I don't know that bitch is referring to a woman. I think it's referring to a person. But that is considered the oldest known proverb.
Acting too hastily
brought forth the blind.
Hmm.
I have all sorts
that means she let the blind person lead in her. Right? That's what it means. The blind leading the blind. It's basically the blind leading the blind. That's basically what that proverb says.
I think it means that if you are...
has brought forth the blind, somebody else to...
acting too hastily.
Yeah.
If you're making decisions, doing things without having the information
like the
or thoughts.
The blind leading the blind.
It is.
Which is, I guess, a proverb.
Well, anything that is really kind of quirky and short and rhythmical and rhyming that really is trying to give thoughtful advice and wisdom to live by
well, let
can
me tell
be
you
considered
what,
a proverb.
What I believe the most famous proverb to be from the Book of Proverbs.
Let me hear.
And I did not look this up. It's just what I know about the Book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
I like it. Say it one more time. Read it again.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Oh, no, I don't like it. You should actually read... think back on things, and then make decisions going forward.
Yeah, but what it says is, I'm going to trust in what the Lord's...
Oh, I know what it says.
Not on my own understanding.
Yeah, don't learn. Don't think about things. Just listen to the Lord.
Now, you just twisted that.
I mean, that's how... As I've gone through Proverbs,
yeah.
I listen to all these pastors take Proverbs and then describe what they say, and I read through certain lines... phrase back and forth. And then they take it and they expound on it, some of the pastors, and take it to all these places where I was like, that's not what it said. There's so much of your, some of these pastors' own
based
thoughts.
Based on your own interpretation.
Oh
course.
My gosh.
But that
and they
is...
went down for 30 minutes on one, like 14 words. I read one proverb that was 14 words, and this man spoke and took all these assumptions.
Do you remember which one it was?
I don't. It was 7 through 8.
All right. So here's what I can tell you. That's part of it, right? Because this is part of people's problem with Christianity and preaching and all that stuff is because we are interpreting the Bible and trying to make it make sense to people and trying to make it make sense to ourselves. I'll tell you my favorite proverb. And I think this one is made specifically for us.
Yeah.
Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
As I was reading the Book of Proverbs, I read that, and it made me think of you.
Did it really?
I swear to God. It made me think of you, and that is amazing.
Because, you know, friends are great, but when you know you have a brother, right, it's made for those times of adversity, not just when you need a friend, but someone who's going to be there for everything. And that's, you know, I feel truly blessed to have that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I could not love that more. And I will tell you, I've greatly enjoyed reading the book of Proverbs. But I am ready to jump in to the best medical proverbs. You ready?
Oh, let's do it.
I'm giving you my top five medical proverbs. Number one, and these are not in specific order, but the good physician treats the disease, the great physician treats the patient who has the disease. Sir William Osler.
That's good.
Yeah. Another one that I like. It's kind of anti-doctors, but I still like it. Okay. I am dying from the treatment of too many physicians.
Whoa, man, that's a good one.
Well, I will tell you what happens.
Okay.
If someone goes to the hospital, they have some medical issues, and then all of a sudden they're seeing seven doctors and getting a medicine, or each doctor wants to do something different. And as opposed to looking at the patient overall, each person is trying to fix one lab value, one thing, and they forget to take the time back to look at the person and see how they're doing. Number three. And this right now, I think, could not even be more relevant than ever. A hospital is no place to be sick.
Wow.
Right? When you're sick, what you need is rest.
Yeah.
In the hospital, we're doing neurologic checks every few hours. Yeah,
that's no place to be sick.
You have one high sugar. We're checking. We're waking you up in the middle of the night to take your sugar. What we've learned, really, from studies is maybe you could let people sleep from 11 to 7 a.m. We're waking people up to draw labs at 5 a.m. People don't get to rest. They don't get to eat. They don't get up to walk around. We put a Foley in them so they can't pee. Their bladder gets paralyzed. Their legs get weak, right? A hospital is no place to be sick, but the only place you should be if you are sick
is a hospital.
Yeah. Ready for the next one?
Yep.
For the mind disturbed, the still of beauty is nature's finest balm. And I really sit with this. So I'm going to read it one more time. For the mind disturbed, the still of beauty is nature's finest balm. Near where I live, near where my office is, there's a place called Norristown Farm Park.
Yeah.
And people fish in there. People walk.
It's called Norristown Farm Park.
Yeah, yeah. That's what it's called. You're absolutely right. But I think some of my patients that have some of the most significant psychiatric issues, being out in nature, seeing the beauty helps settle things down. And it is better than any haloperidol or Seroquel we have.
No, I mean, God's creation is so calm and so amazing. Yeah.
Number five.
Come on.
Thinking of disease constantly will intensify it. Feel always, I am healthy in body and mind. I think this just means staying positive.
Okay.
And right now, a lot of patients are suffering from health anxiety. And I think health anxiety right now is really with Google, and one person gets sick and one person gets something bad. And I have had bad outcomes where someone recently got sick and then 10 people come in and go, how do I know I don't have what that person has?
I don't know if I've ever told the story. You know, Britton Covey, right, who plays for the Eagles, his grandfather wrote the book From Good to Great, Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, like, you know, lots of books. And there's...
We're going to do that next in the book club.
Oh, I love it. There's one book Stephen Covey wrote, and in it, he talked to Admiral Stockdale, who was the highest ranking officer to be captured in Vietnam. And he was tortured and for years and years and years. And he talked about how optimism plagued people in his situation. He was with other prisoners of war. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, the optimists would say, oh, you know, we'll be out by Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving would come and go, and their spirit would be broken a little bit. And, well, maybe Christmas. And Christmas would come and go. Maybe Easter. And he'd say, you know, the optimists would always lose their spirit and hope for this one thing and be optimistic about these things. And eventually, that spirit gets broken. And he said, what you have to be able to do is look at your current reality, no matter how brutal it is, but never, never lose the hope that you may overcome. So he said, man, I got to look at my situation and be able to be honest about it, but never lose hope that I may be able to get on the other side of it.
I love that.
Which I thought was really great. You know, one of my favorite movies is Patch Adams. Did you know that?
I did.
And I love Robin Williams. And I thought Patch Adams was such a cool movie. And there's a, I guess I'll call it a proverb. You know, he is fighting the system. He's trying to find ways to, you know, he dresses up like a clown. He's going through medical school and they don't think he belongs. He's trying to flip the system and he's talking to his doctor and he says to his instructor and he says this and it really has stuck with me for, I love it. He says, and he says it like this. He says, you treat a disease, you win, you lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you, you'll win no matter the outcome.
I love it, except for I've done it and people are still mad when they died.
Yeah.
But I do love it. Patch Adams was something we needed.
Yeah.
He's something we need. It's, I wish they redo that movie.
Yeah.
Right? Can they even redo that?
Could I do that?
I don't think you could.
Do it. Of course I could. What are you kidding me? I could be Patch Adams. He is me. I mean, I am scientific enough to be the guy to
set. Yeah, neither of you have been seen studying. Right? Like, I watched the movie. They're like, oh, he's mad because he's not studying. He just automatically has all the information. Yes. Well, I love it. Well, that actually is a perfect transition. Since okay. You're talking about movies.
Yep, talk to me.
We're going to play the movie game.
Oh, movie game. The movie game. The movie game. It's the movie game.
That's ridiculous. We are going to do the best three proverbs from movies, and then I'm going to allow you to rank them 1 through 3, and then people are going to vote as to whether or not the deacon wins or he fails.
Okay, good. Who's good? Live in studio. That's not my baby.
The deacon does this. The fool does that.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. Number one, Star Wars. It is do or do not. There is no try. That was from Yoda.
Do or do not. There is no try. Okay?
Yeah.
Next.
Forrest Gump. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
All right. All right.
Have you heard that one?
I have.
Yeah. Number three, William Wallace. Every man dies. Not every man really lives. Mm.
So your boy NF also says something like that in one of his songs about living versus dying. Everybody gonna die. Not everybody gonna live, though. I'm gonna go this way. I'm gonna go William Wallace. Yoda. And Forrest Gump. Number three.
Yeah, with William Wallace, I was thinking about that today.
Yeah.
I worked. I had to coach basketball. We were coming to record. And I was like, I am going to live every second of my life and enjoy every second of it. And really, there's not as much downtime as I would like. But I am taking every second of this life and really rocking it.
I love that.
Even though right before basketball practice while driving there, I'm trying to finish the book of Proverbs. Next. Since you and I both growing up are Yankees fans, even though we both now kind of settled in Philadelphia, and I love the Phillies.
And now we both root for the Phillies, right? I think we still we still have our Yankee pride.
Of course, but we're going to go to Yogi Berra. He was a Yankee catcher. Oh, said some of the best, quirkiest lines ever that could be considered proverbs. So we're going to rank Yogi Berra's lines.
All right.
Ready? For number one, a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore.
Holla.
Number two, when you come to a fork in the road, take it.
That's right.
Baseball is 90% mental. The other half is physical.
I think when you come to a fork in the road, take it's number one. A nickel ain't worth a dime anymore is awesome.
Yeah. And especially
then,
right now.
And then...
especially with crypto.
Yeah. And then...
baseball is 90% mental.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical.
That is pretty fantastic. Yeah. I have a few proverbs of my own. Dead people don't complain of cramps. When people want to complain about cholesterol meds.
Yeah.
And no one... Oftentimes they get all these FMLA or I don't want to miss work, and people go, hey, I should be at work tomorrow. I want to get back in a week. My line is, no one's last words ever have been, I should have worked more. But I think there's a movie that sums this up more than anything.
Yeah.
And that? they made an original and they made a sequel and my kids love it.
Oh yeah.
Annie.
The sun will come out tomorrow. That's your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Tomorrow, you can still count on these two things.
The doc is in.
And the deacon speaks.
Tomorrow.
You can always count on those two things. You know what else you can count on? You can always count on checking out our TikTok and finding something fun from the doc and his team at Jefferson Einstein Jefferson, and however they go by. And Brianne, our lovely social media expert, does an awesome job putting that stuff together for us. You can always count on our wives.
Oh, yeah.
You know, making sure that we are in good health. And you can always count on Tucker Butler putting together, producing a fantastic episode, and your boy franchise, maybe he'll come out with a rap recap.
Maybe. But I want to give a shout out to my wife. And let's be honest, other people's opinions of me is none of my business. Cheers.
Excellent brain trust to market and brand this. That's set in stone like the Ten Commandments. This show gon' be around for infinite years. I think we can all agree on ice cold beers. 100% authentic, you can't fake it. Often imitated, but never duplicated. So knowledgeable, take a lot of facts in. Now I'm coming to close it like Aroldis Chapman.